Welcome to the Liberty Education Interview Series. Today we're going to be talking to Leo Terrell, Los Angeles civil rights attorney and well-known talk radio host. Leo has appeared on numerous national TV shows, including Today, Nightline, and Good Morning America, and is a frequent guest on many Fox News shows, including Hannity and the Ingram Angle. Leo, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I've always been interested in stories about how people made the journey from liberalism to conservatism, going all the way back to the great Thomas Sowell, who said that working for the U.S. Postal Service is what caused him to have an epiphany and realize that communism was a lie. Now I'd like you to share with our listeners the details of how your own conversion came about.
Well, I'll tell you, it was sort of unexpected, but two key events in this election year. Our Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, in my opinion, made a very offensive comment when he said that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. I've been a civil rights attorney for 30 years. I believe in equality and fairness. And the assumption that you had to vote Democrat violates everything I stood for as far as fairness, independence, personal choice. And then Joe Biden compounded the problem by saying basically black people think the same way. Respectfully, I don't think the same way as Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan. Coupled with the fact that the Democrats have basically supported defunding the police, those ideas were offensive to my belief in what makes this country great and how we save our American institution. So in sum, those were the reasons why I decided to leave the Democratic Party. In other words, the Democratic Party left me, and the alternative in this upcoming election is Donald J. Trump.
You know, you said that if you want law and order, speaking of law and order, you're not going to get it from Democrats. And what are some of the things you had in mind when you made that statement?
I find it unbelievable for any political party to ignore the chaos in these Democratic cities, Chicago, Seattle, Portland. I have not heard a single word from Democratic leaders to criticize, to distinguish between protesters and criminals. We have looting and crime going on in these Democratic cities, and these Democratic mayors have ignored this outrageous lawlessness. But for President Trump, who have offered assistance and been refused by these Democratic mayors, find it something to me that I just cannot tolerate. And you see it every day for the last 3 to 4 months, that criminals have taken over cities, urban cities throughout this country, run by Democrats.
And by the way, it didn't go unnoticed to anyone that not one Democrat, none of the major speakers, certainly not Obama, Biden, Michelle Obama, or Kamala, none of them mentioned the violence, as you said, in Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and don't forget New York. Not a peep out of any of them, as though it didn't exist.
And if I may, that is the insult to the intelligent, to the American public. We all know what's going on in these Democratic cities. And the Democratic National Convention and the Democratic leaders ignored it and tried to portray that this was peaceful protest. And let me, if I may add, this reference to Black Lives Matter, that is a lie. Black lives matter only depending on if there's an economic incentive, like to create chaos and assume that only if a officer kills a black person. But what about black-on-black crime in Chicago that goes on every day? What about killing a black police officer like David Dorn in St. Louis, Missouri? You hear crickets from the Democrats. And the Democratic whole convention was a big lie regarding the ignoring the lawlessness that goes on in these cities.
You know, over the past several years, we've witnessed the phenomenon of professional athletes taking a knee, and there are strong opinions on both sides. But regardless of an athlete's personal beliefs, do you think it's justifiable for someone to express those beliefs in front of fans who paid a lot of money to watch him perform in a sporting event?
The short answer is absolutely not. I think there is a time and a place to express one's feelings and opinions. You know, when I look at sports, I look at it as an escape, a chance to call a timeout to the day-in and day problems. I don't need to be reminded by athletes basically using a sports platform to show some form of protest. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's out of line. I think there's a time and place. And I think that the need of what's going on right now in professional sports and the disrespect to the American flag, in my opinion, is very, very offensive.
Yeah, and I personally think that the NFL and the NBA in particular are going to pay a big price for it. We'll see what happens as they unroll these shortened seasons. But from what I'm reading, it doesn't look good for them.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And I think you, when you talk about the NBA, let's add the WNBA, who walked off the court during the playing of the national anthem. You know, like I said again, I think there is a misperception of about this term Black Lives Matter. To me, it's nothing more than a shakedown and some form of intimidation, because not all black lives matter. Like I said again, black-on-black crime, killing a black officer, a police officer, there's no outcry. There's no anger. And I find that disingenuous. I think these athletes need to be educated as to what really is going on out there.
Yeah, and don't forget the 25 million or so black unborn babies that have been killed in the womb, because those lives apparently don't matter either.
Well, I'll tell you right now, let me just follow up with that, because of the number two person on the Democratic ticket, Kamala Harris, more liberal than Bernie Sanders, has requested and is suggesting abortion on demand. So if the number one killer of black people is this on-demand abortion pushed by Democrats. It's outrageous, and it's immoral.
You know, recently Joe Biden stepped in it again when he said, related to what you said earlier, another comment was, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is incredibly diverse. And, of course, Biden's handlers immediately tried to walk it back, insisting that he didn't really mean what he said. So how did you, as a person of color, process Biden's statement?
I process it as a series and historical number of gaps and misunderstanding on the part of Joe Biden. Joe Biden has some false assumptions that he knows the mindset of Hispanics, Latinos, black Americans, and he doesn't. And what you heard there is a man who's articulating a stereotype. See, there's an assumption among Democrats that minorities, you have to be a Democrat. That if you fall outside of that Democratic Party, then something's wrong with you. Here's the problem. This is not 1950. This is not 1960. Blacks, whites, brown, and yellow have a choice. And the Democratic Party, is, in my opinion, is not the choice. It is personal individualism. And what Joe Biden assumed is that everyone, if you're a person of color, you have to be a Democrat. For him to judge people, to me, he has no authority to do so, and it's very disingenuous.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you're an Indian, you have to work at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's something going on in his head. I don't think it can be explained away just by saying he's senile or he doesn't really mean anything by it. I think there's something ingrained there, but we'll see what happens from this point on. You know, in the same vein, I thought what Condoleezza Rice said was good when she responded to Biden's comment by saying that America must get, and this is a quote, to the place where when you see somebody who is black, you don't have preconceived notions of who they are and what they think, which is a problem of the left. Neil, what do you think is the reason or reasons why Democrats just can't seem to resist stereotyping blacks?
That's very easy. It's their bread and butter. It's their go-to. It is their only way to keep Democrats or blacks thinking that they have to be a Democrat. The whole assumption here is the government will help you. You need us. You can't do it on your own. So there's this indoctrination that the Democrats have basically brainwashed a great number of black Americans, that saying that the government is the only way for freedom and equality. That is false. That is absolutely false. So as long as the Democrats play race politics, identity politics, this is going to keep going on. What I'm hoping for is that blacks under 40 will reject these Democratic talking points and break away from this mindset. I am very fortunate to have broken away from this year, and I continue to argue these points to make sure others have an alternative to the Democratic Party.
And it's very encouraging to see people like this Kim Klasick and
yes.
Candace Owens who break away at a young age, because I think that has got to scare Democrats to death.
That video, I think you're referring to that unbelievable factual video of Kim Klasick, who I think is over 10 million views, where she shows a video and welcomes the whole world to look at Baltimore under Democratic rule and the lack of benefits afforded to black. It is a revealing video that I encourage all Americans to look at, because the Democrats cannot explain or wash that away. Unbelievable.
Leo, over the last year or so, you repeatedly said that President Trump would not get any more African-American votes in 2020 than he did in 2016. But now your position is that he's likely to receive double that number. So I'd be really interested in knowing what caused you to make such a dramatic shift in your estimate.
Well, I'll tell you again, the Joe Biden racial comments was an awakening call for me. But when you look at just facts and policies, President Trump, during his 3.5 years, has lowered the black unemployment rate. He has provided funding for historical black colleges. And one thing we haven't talked about, education is the key to breaking the poverty cycle. It's unbelievable. And he's in favor of school choice, which the Democrats hate because they're in bed with the public teaching unions. He's also created the First Step Act, which basically provides people an opportunity to change from their prison tenure. And more importantly, he's in favor of justice reform. In short, Donald Trump has done more for black Americans in 3.5 years than the Obama-Biden administration in 8 years. And those are the reasons why I believe that Donald Trump will get at least anywhere between 50 to 100% more black votes than he received in 2016.
Unfortunately, we're stuck with seeing Kamala Harris splattered across our television screens for another 2.5 months. But setting aside what Republicans may think of her, Leo, do you believe she was a smart pick for Joe Biden or his puppet masters? If you were a Democrat, how would you feel about that?
She's a horrible choice. She's a horrible choice. And, you know, I have some experience with Kamala Harris because I live in California when she was the Attorney General. Why is she a horrible choice? She's unqualified. She's unqualified. If you look at her policies and programs, she's more liberal than Bernie Sanders. I love this country. I don't want this country to be a socialist country. She believes in taking away Second Amendment rights. She believes on abortion on demand. She is an outright socialist. And that is, in my opinion, a bad choice for America. More importantly, she's an affirmative action choice. Joe Biden put himself in a box when he won, announced that he was going to select a woman. Well, he just knocked out 50% of other qualified individuals, men. Then he was basically, on his racial gaffe, was forced to pick a black female. And I will submit to you that selecting the number two spot on a ticket based on race and gender, to me, are non-starters and should not be the basis. It should be based on merit. So based on her policies, based on the motivation for why she was selected, she is a horrific selection. Horrible.
I think we can agree that with just a handful of exceptions, the most rundown, crime-infested cities in America have been controlled by Democrats for decades, and the black poverty and crime have been a result of Democratic policies over the past 50 years. So I want to know, do you believe that it's nothing more than stupidity on the part of the Democrats who have pushed these policies? Or do you think they know exactly what they're doing and that they actually want to keep minorities dependent upon the government?
My answer is a sad answer. It's the latter. They know exactly what they're doing, but they're in love and they're obsessed with power. This type of mindset keeps people of color down. Like I said again, schools. Why are Democrats in these cities against school choice, charter schools, private schools, vouchers? because they don't want the poverty cycle to be broken. The reason why I'm on your program today is due to the education, due to the fact that I had a strong mom and a strong dad who push education. That's why I'm on your program right now. But when the public unions dictate to Democrats that if you want our dollars, you are going to be opposed to private schools, vouchers, charter schools, and they take this money, then it is a design plan to keep people in the poverty cycle so that they can keep their power. I want to make one other point because I think if we're right about Trump's increased popularity among blacks, this is going to destroy the Democratic Party. The number, if a large number of blacks, 15, 20, 25% of blacks vote for Trump, that in and of itself is going to break this Democratic stranglehold on black voters.
And while we're on the subject, I happen to believe the single most important issue for African Americans right now is school choice.
Yes.
So how do we get people to focus on an issue like this and stop wasting their time and energy on a nebulous grievance like systemic racism?
Oh, that's a great question, because that I'm a lawyer, and I know what the term systemic discrimination means. And I will submit to you that the Democrats use that word over and over again, and you cannot have systemic discrimination in Democratic cities that are being run by people of color, where the police department have different people of color, black, white, brown, yellow. That is a bald-faced lie. Going back to your original question, I have made it a point to spend the rest of my life as a civil rights attorney working on school choice, working on vouchers, charters, private school for people of color. That, to me, is a new civil rights issue. How do we accomplish that? I'm going to spend every day I have, every minute, every second, educating the community how important it is and how we have to break away from this public teaching union stranglehold on our educational system in these Democratic cities.
And specifically, what do you think needs to be done to help voters understand that it's not evil Republicans who are the cause of their problems, but the very Democrats who claim to be watching out for them?
I'll tell you right now, it's going to take an education process. It's going to take meetings in the community. I think the real key are the black preachers and ministers and the minority preachers and ministers, not to preach in the church, but to have it as a community forum so people like myself, people who understand the importance of education, can talk to the family members, to talk to the parents. We also have to run candidates to challenge this Democratic race politics and challenge them and take over these local governments and tell them that there is an alternative to this plantation mentality. So to me, it's a two-front war.
Two final questions, Leo. Thanks to left-wing violence in cities across America, as we just discussed, and my personal feeling is that Trump's going to win easily in November. We'll see. But if that turns out to be the case, it raises the question, how will Democrats react to another devastating loss? They're already threatening to send generals in to get Trump out of the White House. So do you think they'll again claim that the election was rigged by Russia? And will they become even more violent than they are right now? What do you anticipate?
Your question has the answer. They are going to go berserk. They are going to go crazy. Right now, they're not running on policies or programs. Their whole platform is anti-Trump. That's why that Democratic National Convention was so dark, so gloomy. Attack Trump, attack Trump. I think they're honestly jealous of Trump. But back to the call of your question, they will go out of their mind. They will be the most non-cooperative, uncooperative party for the next 4 years. And that's why I hope Trump gets the White House, and I hope he gets control of the Senate and the House.
Yeah, I think that's what he needs, the Senate and the House. He's really got to start pushing that, because otherwise it's going to be more impeachment, more investigation.
Yes.
It just goes on and on and on. Well, finally, what's your big picture takeaway for the Democratic National Convention, and what impact do you think it will have on the election?
I think the Democratic National Convention, to me, was a disaster for the Democrats. I mean, the whole purpose was, could Joe Biden speak for 20 minutes without having a series of gaffes? Okay, he accomplished that, but he didn't say anything.
He didn't talk about policies. He didn't talk about programs. He didn't talk about what he would accomplish. The whole entire convention was dark and portrayed a false perception of President Trump, because President Trump has done so much for this country in 3.5 years. I don't think they got the boost that normally conventions will provide a candidate. I think they basically held serve because Joe Biden was able to give a 22-minute speech. But I think what we're going to find out in this upcoming Republican National Convention, that the American public will have a choice between American values and American institutions versus voting for a socialist party. I think the choice is very easy.
Leo, thanks so much for joining us today, and I wish you continued success with your efforts to expose the lies of the radical left and keep shining a light on the issues that really matter to most Americans.
Thank you. It was a wonderful interview. I appreciate the time.